Warning, content not suitable for children. Listener discretion advised, yo. Screaming Chewy Show, your source of entertainment and overall fuckery. And the show starts now. This episode is brought to you by W Energy. Tired? Craving an energy drink, but you don't want to feel shitty and jittery afterwards? Well, try W. W Energy has this Neurofactor. It's a patented all-natural coffee cherry extract to help fuel you. Yeah, this ingredient is what gives W its laser-focused and fast reflex effects, making it perfect for gamers. So, whether it's just had a long night, you know, just need some energy to go to work, maybe a pre-workout, or you want to get some gaming done, W is for you. I highly recommend this. And they got some amazing flavors as well. Very creative too, such as Dragonade, right? Dragonberry and Lemonade, Galaxy Grenade, Beach and Peach. Yes, delicious. It's basically Kool-Aid that gets you pumped. So what the hell are you waiting for? Check them out at dubby.gg. That's dubby.gg. Yeah, and guess what? And for 10% off at checkout, enter this coupon code, right? I got you. It's Screaming Chewy SH, all right? All together, caps. Screaming Chewy SH. And yeah, you got 10% off. Dobie, check them out. Everyone, welcome back to another exciting episode of Screaming Chewy Show. And I'd like to welcome special guest, Mark Morales. And how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Thank you for having me on, man. That's awesome of you. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I'm excited, man. I'm a big horror fan. Love horror movies, scary movies. And last time we spoke, you were working on a movie, and now you're finally done working on it.
Yeah, definitely. It's called 521 North Main Street. We actually, like, Facebook always gives you those reminders. It's like, oh, 2 years. So it was like 2 years ago. We started it, went through a lot of crap, a lot of, you know, like, I think I posted somewhere. I say, 2 years ago, we started a movie, a novice film company, which was High Five and Ants, our company. And we never, ever, you know, made a movie before. And, you know, we just said, hey, let's try it. So we went for it and made our mistakes. You know, friends were made, friends were lost, you know, lawsuits were threatened. But, you know, in the end, we got all the footage. And yeah, it took us a while, but we got a great editor and he put it all together for us. It's Jack over at Excelsior Studios. And yeah, now we finally have our movie 521 North Main Street, and it's ready to go. We had a premiere over at the Palace Theater in Georgetown, Texas, a few weeks ago, and it went over well. And now we're just, before we stream it, we're going to take it on a little tour.
Oh, I love it. And tell me about the movie, right? It was filmed in an actual clown motel, right?
Yeah, it's based on a real place called the Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada, but we call our movie 521 North Main Street because we took the address, because if you go on Amazon Prime, you'll probably like find 10 movies with the title, you know, The Clown Motel, you know, Curse of the Clown Motel. You know, I'm giving a lot of shout outs right now to a lot of people I don't know. Watch their movie. So we were like, well, you know, what are we going to do? So I'm like, well, let's just see if we can take the address, you know. So we spoke to the owners of the Clown Motel and we said, hey, we want to make a movie. Can we use the address? And they're like, yeah, you can use the address. And so we based our movie on their motel, loosely based on their motel. But we shot our entire film here in Texas. We shot ours in a soundstage in San Antonio. And we did go back to shoot some extra footage. So we did go to the Clown Motel, I believe like a year later, almost a year ago. Yeah. Back to the Clown Motel and shot some new, some extra footage there and cut it into the movie because the movie was already cut. And we would sit there and we would watch and like, what are we missing? We need something. And, you know, the decision was made. It's like, you know, we should go back. We should go there, get a few scenes there. So, you know, two of us, we took two actors. We went down there, got a really small crew and went back, shot some scenes there and incorporated them into the movie. So it's kind of cool.
I love that. And that's how you know you're serious about it. You're like, there's something missing, right?
It is. At that point, it's so much money. You invested so much money, your time, you know, think about it. It's like 2 years of your life. It just was like, where did it go? So yeah, you know, you got to sit there. It's like a relationship. You're like, it's like, you know, the relationship, you know, you're looking at your relationship and you're thinking, this is good, but there's something missing. Well, how can we make this better? Let's go on more date nights. Let's go here. You know, let's do this more. So it's the same movie, the same thing with a song. You just sit there and you look at it and you're like, there's something missing. Something as easy as your own house. You sit in your house and you're looking at a wall going, you know, I really like my living room, but there's something missing. I need a lamp. Or I need a picture. I need this. And all of a sudden, you know, you add to your house, you add to your environment. So that's the way I look at the film. You do. You sit there and you just watch it over and over and over again. And it's just something missing. And it's like, yeah, you know, we really do need those scenes at the Clown Motel to make it look authentic, to make it look even more creepy. So and to give it a break, you know, because you can only do so much on the soundstage, and it's not like we're MGM or Paramount Pictures, you know, we made a micro budget film, you know, we're a novice film company, never made a film before, and you know, we just went for it. So, you know, we thought that going back to the Clown Motel and shooting those scenes outdoors would add to it, and yay, it worked. We're happy.
You know, and I love that. You know, like. You know, you never made a film before, and then like you have an idea and bam, you make it happen. I love that, you know.
It was a little bit crazy. I once years ago, I was reading about the Appalachian Trail for some reason, and I was living in Jersey, and then I found out that, oh, actually in Pennsylvania, the Appalachian Trail, it's kind of right there. So like I never camped before, but I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna go spend 2 days on the Appalachian Trail.
So oh, you're crazy.
Here and all this other stuff. And, you know, I got bear repellent and a tent. I didn't even know how to set up a tent. And, you know, my girlfriend at the time, I was just like, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to go do this. She's like, you're insane. So, like, she drove me to where it's, you know.
You're crazy.
And I was like, oh, I'll see you in like 2 days. Just meet me back here. And, like, I'm not bragging that I went on this huge hike. I probably only went about 2 miles, but let me tell you something. When you've never done it before and you're out there by yourself and you're really into horror movies and your imagination runs wild, it is scary. It gets real scary real fast. Because the first night I was like, oh, I'll just camp over here, I guess. And it started to downpour. And man, like Friday the 13th just flashed through my head. I'm like, it's over. I'm dead. I mean, there's nothing. Nothing.
You know, this looks familiar.
This is terrible. I'm like, I just threw myself into a situation. I'm like, I got to ride it out. There's nothing else I can do. Just got to ride it out. See what happens. It's kind of the same way with the film. It's like, you know, you set everything up, you know, and you think you got it and you know there are going to be problems, but then you jump into it and all of a sudden new problems arise, you know, just, you know, attitudes from people and different opinions. And all of a sudden that's thrown into the mix. And, you know, it's either sink or swim. It's like you just got to finish. So you just got to ride it out.
So, you're a very brave man. And
or very stupid. Or very stupid.
Nope.
No, you just go for it. It's like skateboarders. You know, oh my God, like when they grind a rail or, I mean, you just don't do that. You have to learn how to skateboard. You have to learn how to ollie, how to do a kickflip and stuff like that. And, you know, that's trial and error. And you're busting your ass a lot, you know, you're getting scraped up, you know. But basically, it's the same as life, you know. We just get hit over and over again. And either, you know, we get back up or we lay down and, you know, just die. I guess that makes
sense. True.
You know, like I'm sure you did one day. You were sitting there going, you know, I really want to do a podcast. I think I can do a podcast. Why can't I do a podcast? And you were like, fuck it. You did a podcast. That's
exactly what happened. And you know, a lot of people don't know how many bones, you know, Tony Hawk got, you know, to get to where he's at, right? Like you said, you just got to do it.
Oh my God. Yeah, all of them. Tony Hawk, Rodney Mullen. God, yeah, man.
For those listening that don't know what the Appalachian Trail is, look it up. Like, it's a lot of people go missing there. There's like, people say there's like creatures there, like some supernatural shit going on. Like, it's fucking crazy, bro. Like, that still trips me out. You went there by yourself.
I think it runs from Tennessee to like, it runs through New York and up. And yeah, it goes far. It goes really far. Like I said, I didn't do a major hike. I'm not saying, yeah, I walked the Appalachian. I think I did two miles. And yeah, like the first night I really tried to rough it. I when I was walking, I passed like a campsite, but there was nobody else around. It was like obviously. So I'm like, oh, that's a campsite. I'm like, all right, but I'll just walk a little bit further because I kind of want to rough it. I don't want to go to the campsite. I want to go in the woods. So then I went in the woods and I was like, all right, I'll sit up here. And then it just started to downpour and, you know, fear kicked in. So the next night I walked back to where the campsite was. I'm like, I'm going to camp here. And maybe it'll be a little bit safer and a little bit more calm.
I feel you on that Friday the 13th feel.
Yeah, but crazy. It was crazy, but it wasn't even more Friday. It was more like, God, it was more like Last House on the Left feeling. Mm. So I was like, oh, that's creepier. Because, you know, Jason, you know, a person in hockey, you know, supernatural. Okay, maybe, you know, but something about an actual human grabbing me. And I'm like, oh, that weirds me out. Just weirds me out. Just, you know, I don't know. If you're dead and you grab me and kill me, all right, that's kind of okay, you know, because you're dead and I get it. And, you know, it's weird supernatural stuff, but you're just a human being. You're killing me. That's messed up. Don't kill me just because you're in the woods and you have nothing else to do.
Or the wrong turn people. That would be crazy.
Yeah, it gets all weird. So, all that sets in real quick and. Yeah, you're like, oh, I made it through the night. I won't do that again. Okay.
One time I went camping, I was at a cabin, right? And I was all fucked up, dude. I've been drinking all day and smoking, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something. And I go outside. I'm like, I'm going to go fishing. And I go to the lake, you know, a little bit of a walk. And I go to the lake and it's fucking dark, right? And it's cold, bro. It was at this place called Sholo in the White Mountains. And I turn on the flashlight, bro. And like all the lake, there was like this fog over the lake, bro. And I'm like, this is fucking Friday the 13th vibes right here, bro. I'm gonna get killed.
See, don't play like that. Don't go. Oh, why did you need to go fishing at 2 a.m? What was the purpose? You know, those are the things that we do. I was like walking, going. You know, like, why did I do this? You know, why am I in the woods? You know, why am I in a rainstorm? What was the purpose of me doing this? I'm like, you know, I have an impulse and said, I'm going to try it. I'm like, you know, oh, and then like 2 days before I had tried it and from another point and I walked in the wrong direction. So I walked like 3 hours in the wrong direction. I had to walk back. So, yeah, and I had to call for a ride. So, yeah.
You know, that's because we got that horror movie, you know, those thoughts in our heads, right? And, you know, and now you made a movie, bro. And I think it's amazing. And why don't you tell me about the movie? Tell me about the plot and, you know, how you came up with this.
Okay, so the movie, it's called 521 North Main Street. Like I said, it's the address of the actual Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada. And it's, and also I forgot to mention that the Clown Motel like is a real place, and right next door to the Clown Motel, like just a few maybe 100 feet away, is an old graveyard. So it's this small graveyard with, and you can look it up online, and it's from like 1900, and I think it closed in 1910. I think it was only open for 10 years. Maybe I could be wrong, But so like the headstones are made out of like wood and metal and tin, stuff like that. So it's kind of cool and adds, it makes it even more creepy. So our movie is about a ghost hunting team. They're called the Entity Explorers, but they don't find ghosts. They don't believe in ghosts, and that's their shtick. You know, they go to places that other ghost hunting teams have gone to, and they basically make jokes and stuff like that. And, you know, they have witty banter between them, and, you know, so they never find ghosts. So they go to the Clown Motel because everyone else has been to the Clown Motel, and they've been like, and they start searching, and, you know, like they're just making jokes. Nothing's going to happen. And sure enough, they get transported to basically what I call hell, but everything looks the same. So the only difference is if you try to leave, you just end up right back at the same motel.
Oh, that's creepy as hell.
So it's about these group of people trying to get out of hell, and they're being pursued by three demons dressed as clowns. And these demons, basically, they have all day. They're not looking for fast kills. They're having a party. And the three of them, they have witty banter between the three of them. They don't like each other, you know. And like I said, they're having their own little party. Each demon has their own little agenda. And they're just playing with these people like they're toys, like they're playthings. So it's kind of, you got like it's like a 60% horror and a 40%, you know, comedy work in there. So I like to, not that it's anywhere near an American Werewolf in London, but, you know, it's kind of that feeling, that kind of genre where it's the comedy and the horror mixing together.
A perfect mix. I love that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so that was the entire plan. That was the major goal. You know, from the very beginning, it has to have a horror and it has to have a little bit of comedy in the mix with it. So, and that's, you know, out of everything else that I planned, I'm like, that's definitely what I have on the screen. I'm like, I might not have got this, I might have missed this one, but at least that aspect of the film.
And I like
that on the screen.
I love the horror with comedy because the horror will keeps you on edge, right? And it gives you that gore and all that scary stuff that we like.
Right.
And then in between, you get a little bit of comedy to make you forget about the next scare that's coming that you're not going to see, you know?
Right. I dig it. I dig it more. I like when someone's getting killed and the killer's talking to them. You know, it's like, you know, when Freddy Krueger came into the mix, you know, Freddy added that. You know, it's where Jason didn't talk, Michael Myers didn't talk. All of a sudden, Freddy came into the mix, and it's like, okay, how am I going to be different? I'm going to talk, and I'm going to be witty, and I'm going to be funny, and I'm going to be corny, you know, while I kill you, and, you know, I'm going to taunt you. And I'm like that's really kind of a new level. And I dig that. I dig it. Like, I think who probably does it, and I, like, Rob Zombie, I guess, in his movies, I guess his killers do that. I won't watch a Rob Zombie movie because it's just not my thing, and nothing against Rob Zombie. I'm sure his movies are incredible, but it's just not my thing. You know, and neither is a movie like Hostel. I'm sure Hostel's brilliant. Just don't, it's not my thing. I don't want to watch people get tortured or anything like that, you know, but I do like when, you know, the killers talk, but they have to be funny. You know, they got to be kind of cool. You know, so, but you can't be dumb. Can't be dumb. Like Candyman, the original Candyman. Oh, yeah. He spoke. That shit was badass. And I was like, God damn. That was like a song when he talked. It was like, you almost wanted to sit there and go, please kill me. Just keep talking to me because it's so smooth.
Yeah, he had that voice. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, it's so smooth and comforting. Just, yeah, please kill me. You know, but, and like I said, Freddie was just funny. So, when I created, you know, these three demon clowns, I'm like, there's got to be something to them. I'm like, they have to have their own little problems going on. Like in a Quentin Tarantino movie, you know, you like in Pulp Fiction, you get the killer, you know, you get the two hitmen, But, you know, they also have lives and they talk about their lives. You know,
more casual too.
Talks about, you know, the Royale with cheese going here and, you know, and then, you know, so, and it makes them kind of human. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel about my demons. I'm like, I want people to relate to them. I want them maybe in the end to kind of root for them also. You know, I don't want it just like, oh my God, you got to get away from them and kill them at the end and do this. It's like, no, I want people to choose sides. I want it to be legit. I want them to go, well, this is why I want the demon to win.
What is the most dangerous book you have ever read? How about Mein Kampf by the notorious leader of the Nazis, Adolf Hitler? Or the book the Beatles warned us about in their classic song, Revolution, quotations from Chinese Communist leader Chairman Mao? Maybe you would hide your copy of Bertrand Russell's Why I'm Not a Christian. Or even semi-fictional works like Salman Rushdie's book, The Satanic Verses. That book had him living in hiding from angry Muhammad followers. But what about a book that is most likely not only dangerous to own and read, but could very well be illegal in many countries? Roderick Edwards' book, How to Overthrow a Government, takes the reader on a historical and hypothetical journey of revolutions, civil war, and sedition. From ancient Chinese farmers turning their farm tools into weapons, to the attempted impeachment of the U.S. President Trump. This book has it all. Get it today before it's banned forever.
You know, because he was funny or he said this and he reminded me of myself or this or that. So, I don't know. I think I'm just babbling at this point. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I love that. I love that. That's perfect examples. Like you said, Freddie. Because so I'm a huge fan of the Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. But Freddy, the first two movies, he was very serious. He hardly talked.
Right.
But after the third one, that's when he started being funny, and it made it even better. Like, it's hilarious.
Absolutely, man. They gave him free reign. It's like, let's take it to where it needs to go. Yeah. The second one is good. I don't know. I like the second Nightmare on Elm Street. I really do. I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think it gets enough recognition.
The second one.
Yeah.
When I was little, what creeped me out is when Freddy cuts his way out of the guy's body. What the fuck?
I will tell you right now. We wrote a sequel to 521 North Main Street, and there is a scene just because of that where I'm like, someone's got to come out of someone. And I was talking to my special effects guy, my friend Sergio, who did all the special effects for 521 North Main Street. And I'm like, could we do this? And he's like, oh, we could do that. He's like, and this is how you do it. And he explained the entire thing. I'm like, really? That's it? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, when the sequel is made, just look out. There will be that scene where someone is coming out of someone else.
Oh my God, I'm so fucking excited for that. That's one of those scenes that lives in my head rent free, bro. Like, it freaked me out when I was little, but I love it. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, you know, we had a lot of big ideas for the first one. And like I said, we hit a lot of snags, and that's our own personal shit too, you know, not being prepared enough. And so you had to lose a lot of special effects things that we wanted to do. So with the second one, we feel that, you know, we'll be better prepared, you know, we'll have a different team. And so it's like, we're, you know, it's almost like that's redemption. It's like, we're going to go back in. It's like, this time we'll do it right. We are going to put everything into it. You know, we're going to get all those special effects and more. You know, we're going to show them what we could really do. You know, so
you learned from it.
It was definitely a learning experience. It's like, oh, okay. It's like almost like a first marriage. It's like, okay, it didn't go well. Let's not do that again. Let's change it up.
Yep.
Why not? Let's make it better.
And can you say anything about the sequel? Like, so in the first one, is there any backstories to the demons, or is it just straight up, they're just there and they're killed?
They explain how. This isn't an actual story about the Clown Motel. I think I made this up, and I don't know. So they talk about the reason the Clown Motel exists. It's apparently supposed to be built on top of a mass grave of burned dead circus people who were really a religious cult. So there was this back in the day, there was this religious cult, but they were really, they were a circus, they were circus performers, and they would travel the countryside, but they were really like this religious devil cult. And what they would do is they would go from these town to town, and after each town, they would kidnap a person from the town, and then they would sacrifice them to Satan. And this went on for years and years and years until, you know, the townspeople finally, you know, got aware, and they're like, well, this happened to you, this happened here, it must be these people. So what happens is, you know, the towns get together, and while the circus people are sleeping in their camp, all the townspeople come, and they set the circus on fire, and they burn them all, and then they kill them all, and then they just bury them in a mass grave. And then years later, the Clown Motel is apparently built on top of this. So that's the story. So there's all this evil. So my demon clowns aren't part of that clown circus. They're just demons from hell. And there's just so much evil buried there that it creates basically an opening, you know, a porthole to hell because of all the evil from these people that they did these horrible things, and they were burned and they're dead there. And so, yeah, that's the backstory from my demon. So, and it's not just the three, like I say, the three demon clowns. They explain them later on where they said, you know, these three demons are dressed as clowns. They're not per se clowns. They're kind of just when in Rome. So then other people do turn into demons also, but they don't turn into clowns. Like there's one character, you know, she basically like turns into like this rocker type person from the 1980s. She doesn't turn into a clown, but her demon persona is this. So each demon that enters a body has a different persona. So they're like, oh, you guys are clowns, but we don't want to be a clown. We're going to be this, or we're going to do this, you know? So that's what I see. I see it like high school. I always see the three main demon clowns from my film. They were basically the losers in high school. They sat by themselves. No one wanted to hang out with them. So they just hung out with each other, and they didn't even like hanging out with each other, but they had no one else to hang out with. That's the way I see my demon clowns.
Now they're getting their revenge.
And that's exactly it. That is exactly it. They talk shit. They don't like each other. And like I said, you know, they all have their own little agendas.
Oh, man, I'm excited for this. Definitely looking forward to this. And any word on the release date yet?
Well, this is our thing. So we are, before we put it on a streaming platform, right now we're organizing, we call it the 521 North Main Street Unconventional Movie Tour. So we're taking it right now. Everything was done in Texas. We live in Texas. So we're going to take it on a small tour of Texas. And right now we're looking at, I'll actually give you the theaters. There's Doc's Drive-In in Buda, Texas. Then we also have the K Theater in Rockdale, Texas, the 3M Palace Theater in Colorado City, Texas. And then there's a place called Movie Night in Mission, Texas. And what makes Movie Night even great in Mission, Texas is it's a video store. It's a video store slash kind of diner. So that's
crazy.
What this tour is, what we're pushing it as, so we're going to try to play drive-ins and little independent mom and pop type theaters throughout Texas. So right now we're booking dates with these people, and we're going to do that. So it'll maybe be like one night here, two nights there, you know, and we're just going to, you know, go there, do Q&As with some of the actors, and sell some merch. We're also scheduled to be at Nashville Horror Con in July, 720 to 721. And then we're also doing Monsterama in Atlanta, Georgia. And what is that? August 9th and August 11th. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take the movie around. We're gonna sell DVDs of it. Because apparently I did research online, and when you go to a horror con, DVDs apparently sell better than Blu-rays.
Oh, that's smart.
So yeah, we're doing DVDs. And at the same time too, we want to basically control our movie as much as we can. So we're going to do a pay-per-view platform on our website and stream our movie from there ourselves.
Oh, you're smart, bro. You're doing this the right way. That's very smart. And you're also helping out small businesses as well doing that, you know?
And Yeah. That's, like I said, I'm not going to sit and go, we got the greatest fucking movie in the world. And that's bullshit, because we don't. You know, we don't. Like I said, we made a lot of dumb, stupid mistakes. Like, we trusted people we shouldn't have trusted, but that's on us. That's on my company. We shouldn't have done that. You know, we should have just, you know, been more aware. But we do. We have, I believe, an entertaining movie. And I know that if we just like throw it on a streaming platform, it's going to get buried. Even if you have a great movie and you throw it on a streaming platform, for the most part, I believe it's going to get buried. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to do the, you're going to have to do all the advertising yourself. Even if you put it on Amazon Prime, you're the one who's going to have to do it. If you want people to see it, you're going to have to get out there. So why throw it up on Amazon Prime and then have to do all the work anyway? Just keep it for ourselves for now. Just, you know, we'll promote it. We'll take it to where it needs to go. Just like back in the day, you know, like in the 70s, you know, you made a movie. It was on film. You took that can of film and you went to theaters. And you said, hey, this is our film. You want to show it here? Maybe we can get a percentage of the door, maybe a percentage of the concessions. And that's what we're doing.
That's very smart, bro.
Hopefully after that, if it works out, we plan to go to Oklahoma next, because Oklahoma is next to Texas. And yeah, and you know, like I said, it's a grassroots thing. I'll be driving to these places. We'll post dates on the website, on our Facebook page, on Instagram page, everywhere, and just get it out there. We just want people to see it. We want to give it a fair shot. You know, we want to know from the people after they watch it, you know, hey, do you want to see a sequel to this? You know, because if people don't want to see a sequel, why are we going to do it? Movies cost a lot of money to make.
Yep.
No matter how big or small, they cost a lot of money to make. So, and it takes a lot of time. And yeah, the emotional stress, everything physically, it's a lot. But, you know, if people want to see a sequel, if they're digging the first one, they want to see that sequel and they let us know, then yeah, we'll go for
definitely.
It.
But definitely. We
definitely want to take it to people first. You know, it's a grassroots thing. Like, here we come. You want to see this? Let's go for it.
Bring it, huh?
And, yeah. Some of these theaters are beautiful. Yes. I'm like, oh my God, this theater look. And it's like, this theater's from 1930 and this one, and then like smallest towns. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this really exists. There was one theater. I honestly thought it was closed because the building next to it looked abandoned and the building to the other side of it looked abandoned. I'm like, is this place open? And I made a phone call and I left a message. God, listen, I don't know if this place is open or not, but I got a phone call right back. The guy was like, our place is open. Yes, it is, sir. And I was like, damn, all right, straight up. Like, we want to go there. He was like, well, let's discuss this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Going to the movies itself is an experience, you know, so I love that.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about these places. You know, some of these theaters, they only open on the weekend. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, like we'll open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then we're closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And they're like, you know, because nobody comes to the movies on those days, but, you know, we get a big crowd on the weekend. There's one place, I forget which theater it was. They're awesome. They only charge like $5 a ticket, and they allowed you to bring your own food in just so they can keep costs down for everyone. So I'm like, that's beautiful, man. And I'm like,
that's cool.
Like, thinking about going to like your local cinema and going, bringing, you know, like a picnic basket with you. I'm like, where are you going with that food? Oh, I'm going inside. You're like, no, you're not. Get out of here. And it's like, no, man, they encourage you, bring food, bring your own food. Come in, bring your family. You know, we'll try to keep the cost down as much as possible because we want your family to have this experience.
Love it. And and anybody wondering where these theaters are available near their area, they could find it on your website as well, right?
Yeah. When does your podcast come out? I know probably within a week after this, we will have everything posted on the website. But yeah, it's the
perfect
highfiveandanceproductions.com. I think that's right. Highfiveandanceproductions.com. Yeah, that's the website.
Awesome. In any socials you can plug?
Yeah, we can do Facebook. There's Mark Morales. That's my Facebook page. There's also Mark Morales 891. That's my Instagram. 521 North Main Street movie. That has its own Facebook page. High Five and Ants Productions also has its own Facebook page. High Five and Ants Productions also has our YouTube page. So if you want to watch the trailers, anything like that, clips from other things we've done, you can there and check stuff out. And I think I already pitched the website, right? Want to reach out to me personally. There's alphaville2 at hotmail.com. I think that's really it.
I'll have all the links on the episode description. And 521 North Main Street. Everybody,
if you're looking that up on, if you're Googling it, remember, put 521 North Main Street movie. Because people just type it in. It's like 521 North Main Street. And it's like, oh, it's an address. I'm like, yeah, it's an address. You know, so you have to be movie. So
pops up on
someone
Google
in the company telling people, yeah. And he came back to me. He was just like, listen, we got to talk about, you know, the title. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like, well, everyone I tell, you know, about the movie, you know, I tell them to Google 521 North Main Street. And I'm like, well, you can't just say 520. You got to say 520 North Main Street movie. I said, that's what you got to tell them. And then I'm like, this is how, like, look, see? He was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, you got to Google 521 North Main Street movie. And then the trailers will pop up and other things, too. I think there's one review out there. I think it's a 1-star. And I read it and I'm like, they're absolutely correct. Everything they said is right. They are absolutely right. But, you know, that's another thing about the movie. Like I said, we had all these problems and we never saw dailies to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we never saw what it looked like.
Oh,
we never saw it.
Oh, that's
I mean,
crazy.
I directed it. I just saw what was on set for that day, but I never saw dailies. And that's, you know, that, like I said, lawsuits were threatened. And so we basically went at it blind. So we got all this footage. We never saw the footage. We didn't have the capability to see any of the footage. We were going to dump everything. Because we were everyone, we were just so upset and angry at everyone at this point. So the company was going to dump it. And then someone said, hey, someone knew an editor. And they said, let's send it to my friend over here. And let's see what they say. They're going to be honest. So we do. We sent all this footage to an editor who never saw it before, had nothing to do with the movie. So they're getting it blind. And they went through it. And then they were honest. They said, you know, there's something. We can do something with this. They said, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time. But yeah, they said, that, you know, don't, in our opinion, don't trash it. You know, you got strong performances. You got a strong story. You know, we can work it. And, you know, they worked it and they gave us, you know, and I believe it's an entertaining film. Not the greatest thing in the world, but it's damn entertaining and it's just fun.
Just like the Appalachian Trail, you took it head on, bro. You fucking did it. And here we are, man. And now you're talking about a sequel. And I would definitely love to have you back on. And, you know, when you guys are ready, you know, talk about the sequel. And I'm looking forward for this, man.
Awesome. I'd love to be on again, man. Your show is awesome. You're awesome. And thank you so much.
And back at you, bro. And keep up the great work, man.
Hey, man. Thank you. You too, bro. Hey. Appreciate oh, wait. You had, what's his name on, right? You had, my least favorite Jason. And I don't mean that in a
CJ Graham
way. I don't mean that in the freaking mean way at all. I don't mean that. So if CJ Graham's ever listening, I don't mean that in the mean way. It is not your fault. I don't know. I don't like the fanny pack you were wearing, that utility belt. I don't dig it. But he's scheduled for Nashville Horror Con, I believe.
Yeah.
Almost positive. Is he going to be
there's
there?
There's a lot of those Horror Cons. And yeah, there's the fan base is definitely split about that movie. Some people love it, some people hate it. But yeah,
he's my least, that's my least favorite Jason. It's way too thin. You know, I'm not saying everyone has to be Kane, you know, but.
Oh, yeah. Kane Hodder, man.
Yeah. But my favorite, just really quick, number four.
Oh, yes.
Whoever played number four, that's it. He's gold. Yes.
Yeah, man. I agree with you, bro. I agree with you.
He's super gold. That's it. Yes.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate you too, brother. Thank you so much.
And thank you, bro. You have a good one.
All right, man. You too.
All right. Peace.
Thank you, bro. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. And if you'd like to support this podcast, check out anchor.fm/screamingchewy@gmail.com. Any contribution is greatly appreciated, and that makes you my producer. If not, that's cool. I'm just happy you're tuning in. And hey, Screaming Chewy Show merch. Yeah, that's right, at teespring.com. Just Google Teespring, T-E-E Spring, Screaming Chewy Show. Just Google that, it'll take you right there. And yeah, you could buy hoodies, t-shirts, socks, masks, you know, if there's any stuff you'd like to see on there or purchase, just let me know and I'll add it on. And yeah, you'll be rocking, styling. Social media, don't forget to follow me on there, on Facebook, Screaming Chewy Show. I like to share memes, just make up stupid shit, share my episodes on there and just whatever. Check out my YouTube for video versions of my podcast episodes. Also, in between episodes, I like to add me streaming. Yeah, watch me get scared playing a creepy game or die playing PUBG or some shit, you know what I mean? And yeah, just check out my YouTube and Twitter. It's at Screaming Chewy. Yeah, not Screaming Chewy Show. I should change it to that. But for now, it's just Screaming Chewy. And thanks again for tuning in. See you next week. Peace.